I hope we get two things from the message today. One, of course, is it's Father's Day. And I want us to see the goodness of God, our Father. That's a profound truth, a profound reality for those of us in Jesus Christ because of the gospel. That's the good news. And also, as we wrap up our Forward Living message series, I want us to receive the invitation as we're living forward into a new season. Feels kind of like a lot of things in life are sort of turning a page. I mean, we're literally turning the page to summer, but we're sort of yearning for, hoping. It kind of seems that many other things are maybe turning the page as well. We're entering a new season in a lot of ways. And so as we do so, I want us to receive the invitation to be people of prayer and persons of peace as we go about these coming weeks and this new season that is upon us. And so if you've turned to Luke chapter 11, we're going to begin reading at verse 1. And I invite you, pray with me, please, and then I'll dive into the reading. Living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and may the glory of the risen Christ be our single ambition. We love you, Lord. Speak to us today, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would bring you glory and honor and praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, beginning at verse 1, and we read this. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray," and just pause there for a minute, because I love, he says, "When you pray," he just assumes, right? Like, do you breathe? Well, of course I breathe. When you breathe, when you eat, when you sleep, when you pray. Jesus says, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation." Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you is a friend, and he goes and to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What's the main thing you need? Right, it's been a tough season, and if I'm going to be really honest, I'm tired from it all. And I sort of hit that wall of tiredness this week. Makes us maybe react in many different ways. But think about it this way. Do you know the first question in the Bible? What's the first question in the Bible? Where are you? Where are you? I mean, God knows where you are, right? But where are you? And the question is kind of getting at, like, is your heart dead? Is your heart dim? Or is your heart burning with desire for the living God? I was a little bit tired this week. So I was feeling that. But I know the main thing I need is to desire God and to seek him. What's the main thing you need? Probably the same thing. One day, Jesus is praying in a certain place, and one disciple, one, said, "Lord, would you teach us all to pray?" And I'm so grateful for that one, right? Because one person is watching Jesus pray and going, "This is it. Jesus, would you teach us?" And we're all given the Lord's Prayer as a result. Could you be the one? Is this the day? Right? So here's this familiar prayer. Most of us, I dare say most of us anyway, on this call gathered this morning know this. It's familiar to us. The shorter version here in Luke chapter 11, there's a longer version in Matthew chapter 6. And of course, there's what's come to be the version we all know, or most of us know, as the Lord's Prayer that we often recite together at various times. N.T. Wright, a really smart biblical scholar and ancient historian, he says that this prayer is the pattern that Jesus lived out. He lived out, "Our Father, hallowed be your name." Right? All of Jesus's actions were, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." He was doing it. "Give us bread and forgive us." He says, I'm here to bring the forgiveness. The people need to be delivered. He lived it out. "Our Father, your kingdom. Give us, forgive us, deliver us." Jesus leads you and me to our and us when we pray to our Father. And so in this passage, verses 5-8, it talks about having shameless audacity. That's the picture we get of this friend who comes at midnight knocking on the door. Right, that we're to ask of the Lord in crazy ways. We're to ask, we're to seek, we're to knock, we're to be like the kind of person who comes at midnight. And so he tells this parable of, and the person in the house is in bed. And if you think back in the day, they didn't have four bedrooms, right? Big houses with four bedrooms, and everybody had their own kind of private space. They were all in this house, all in one room together, trying to sleep. And if I get out of bed, I'm going to stir up my children. And there goes the rest of the night of sleep, right? Everybody who's been a parent says, well, that would do for the rest of the night. I'm not waking my sleeping kids. But there's this guy who keeps knocking, and he says, "I need bread. I need bread." And eventually Jesus says, so the guy in the house gets up, not because they're best friends. He gets up, quite frankly, just because, "I need you to stop, right? Let me sleep." We're going to find out in verses 11 to 13 of this passage what the Lord really wants us to be knocking for with shameless audacity, right? So when you're asking, we need bread, we need forgiveness, we need deliverance, we're always in need of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus says, do you know what you really ask for? What's the most important thing to ask for? Verse 13, he says it. We ask for the Holy Spirit. Right? If you fathers, Jesus says, though you are evil, if your son says, "Can I have some bread?" would you give him a snake? If he asks for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? If you, though you are evil, right? You've got sin, you've got brokenness. If you, though you're evil, though you're like that, you've never given your kid a snake or a scorpion. So if you know how to give good gifts, how much more Do you think your Father in heaven wants to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So be asking for the Holy Spirit all the time. And we see this throughout Scripture, throughout the New Testament. Remember, Simeon was a prophet. Simeon was in the Spirit when Jesus was born. And he's in the Holy Spirit. He spoke the words that he spoke. When Jesus began his ministry and the Holy Spirit comes down on him. And remember when Jesus went into the wilderness and all he had was the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. It is written, resisting, rebuking the deceit and lies of the devil in the Spirit. And then he begins his ministry, right? He began preaching and he said, first thing he says, starts his ministry back into the temple, reads the scripture for the day, and it's the appointed passage in Isaiah, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And Jesus' healings are done by the Spirit, and his teachings are done by the Spirit. And he was raised from the dead by the Father through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then after that happens, he tells the disciples, he's like, "Don't go do any ministry until the Holy Spirit comes on you." And so for 10 days, they do nothing but wait and worship and pray in the upper room. And then the Holy Spirit comes and they turn and preach the gospel, and 3,000 people are asking the question, well, what must we do to be saved? And Peter says, "Repent. Be baptized, every one of you, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And throughout Acts, the Holy Spirit guides and empowers this gospel movement from the upper room to the uttermost. We need the Holy Spirit. Jesus says here, the most important thing the Father wants to give you is the Holy Spirit. Ask for the Holy Spirit. But we're to wait for the Holy Spirit. We're to pray together to receive the Spirit. Ephesians 5 says, don't be drunk with wine, but be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And we need the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And so dads, right, the best gift that we can receive today, and for all of us, really, the best gift we can receive today by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, we saw this in Galatians 3 last week, is the power of the Holy Spirit adopting us as sons and daughters of our Father in heaven. And so let's get at this week. Where did I kind of want to go with this message? Today's message I've titled Our Father. And or lean into that a little bit. I was talking with someone this week who shared how it's hard for them when they watch good fathers love their children well because their father didn't do that for them. And you know what? Maybe you can relate to that on some level. But I want you to know that there's a Father in heaven who loves. And loves perfectly. And so Philip, one time when Jesus said, Philip's a disciple, one time when Jesus said he was the way, the truth, and the life, that he was the way to the Father. And Philip says, "Well, Lord, show us the Father. That will be enough for us." Jesus says, "Philip, don't you know? Even after I've been with you for such a long time," and listen to what Jesus says. He says, "Anyone who has seen me," anyone who's seen Jesus, "has seen the Father." You want to know what your Father in heaven is like? Just read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He's just like Jesus. We've seen Jesus. We've seen the Father. And I love the parable of the lost son. That's a familiar story, familiar parable to many. The lost son, right? He totally blows off his father. He goes and he lives wildly. That's not the part that I love, by the way. But the part that I love is when he comes back, listen to the word Father over and over again as Jesus tells this parable. When the guy who blew everything treated his dad terribly, and when he came back, actually just before he comes back, he says this. It's in Luke 15. He says, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread to spare? I'm starving to death. I'm going to go back to my father, and I'm going to say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against you. Can you make me like one of your hired servants? For I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' And so he got up and went to his father. And when his father saw him, he felt compassion and sprinted toward his son." Now that's the interesting part of the parable, right? The father shames himself. When you were Jewish back in the day, you don't do any of that. All right, if your son has run off and blown everything and shamed your name back in the day, you do not see him and have compassion and run back to greet him. But this is, Jesus says, this is who your father is. And then the father embraces the son as Jesus continues to tell this parable. And the father says, "Bring the fattened calf and give him a ring and give him shoes and let there be a party and let's eat and let's celebrate." This is what our father is like. Philip says, "What's the father like?" Jesus says, "Look at me. You've seen the father." One time Jesus was walking and all of a sudden, Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, comes and says, "Jesus, you have to come quickly. I have a 12-year-old daughter. She's about to die." All right? So this father is crying about his daughter. And Jesus is moving and moves to get there. So Jesus is walking to get to the daughter of this father, this 12-year-old girl who's going to die. And now a woman who's been bleeding for 12 years reaches in. Now, she's shameful in the culture and the time. She's shameful. She's been bleeding. She's outside the community. And yet somehow she sneaks in and she touches Jesus. "Who touched me? My power has left me." Finally, he turns and he sees her, and his first word to her, his daughter. She's been an outcast. And Jesus turns and says, "Daughter." He says, "I'm going to go heal one daughter, and I'll heal you and call you daughter as well. You have a father in heaven." So when we pray, we're praying to that father. So N.T. Wright, in his book, great little book, quick, easy read, The Lord and His Prayer, he says, Father also points us to something else. And I never knew this. He says the first time that you read the word Father in Scripture as a way of speaking about God really comes from way back in Exodus chapter 4. And in Exodus chapter 4, to set the scene, Moses comes marching in to Pharaoh. And so the people, this is the part of the biblical story that really inspired the song we listened to or sang along with this morning. The people of Israel have been in slavery in Egypt for generations. And in Exodus chapter 4, Moses comes marching in to Pharaoh. He's met with God. God has placed a call on Moses' life and said, "You know, Moses, you're going to lead my people out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of bondage and slavery into the promised land." And so Moses marches into Pharaoh and he says, "Yahweh says," here's where this word father comes from the first time, "Yahweh says, you're to let my firstborn son Israel go." God was saying to Israel, I'm your father. And so when we turn and say, our Father in heaven, we remember Moses went in and he was saying to Pharaoh, my people are not slaves. They are sons and they are daughters. When we pray, our Father, one of the things that you're saying is, I'm no longer a slave. And I'm no longer a slave to sin. And Jesus didn't come to deliver us from, you know, weak little Caesar in the Roman Empire. Jesus didn't come to deliver us from weak little Pharaoh and the Egyptian dynasty. He didn't come to deliver us from weak little earthly kingdoms, however magnificent they may seem. He came to deliver us from Satan and sin and ourselves. And when we say our Father, we're declaring we're free. We're free people. We're sons and daughters of the one true King, the true and living God. And so we pray, our Father, hallowed be your name. What does that mean? Holy, holy be your name. Still kind of a weird word. We don't use that word in contemporary English at all. Here's something that really helped me think about that and understand it a little better. Get at it this way. What do you obsess about? Really, like, what's your bottom line? Is your bottom line, few examples, when push comes to shove, is your bottom line, food is my delight? When push comes to shove, is your bottom line, lust is my delight? When push comes to shove, is your job your life? When push comes to shove, is your reputation everything? Right? What's your go-to escape addiction private thing that you turn to? Or what ticks you off, right? If somebody messes with it, you're going to get angry, right? These are questions to get at. What's your bottom line? What do you obsess about in life? That's what's hallowed in your life. Hallowed be the fill in the blank. But we're invited now, Jesus says, I invite you, turn and pray, our Father, hallowed be your name and who you are. You are life. You are freedom. You are God. I'm not. So I turn to you. Right? And our invitation, I think, in this is, what do you need? What do you need to be able to say, hallowed be your name? Lust is not life. Power is not life. Money is not life. Food is not life. Baseball is not life, which is a good thing because I don't think we're going to see any baseball this year. We saw in Galatians 3 last week, my identity in 1,000 things, right? All these different things that we could find our identity in and that become sort of who we are, the defining thing about who we are. None of those 1,000 things are life. And so sometimes we have to take a hammer, right? I know this isn't a hammer. It's the only tool I had in my office. I'm not that bad. But it's Father's Day. I have to talk about tools a little bit. But sometimes we have to take a hammer and smash at our little kingdoms. We have to smash at sin so that we can be about the kingdom of God. Is this the day? One day, a person said to Jesus, teach us to pray. And Jesus said, here's my good news for you. You get to say, our Father, hallowed. Is this the day that God is God and everything else moves down into its little place in your life? We're invited to walk with Jesus. Our Father. Think of the profound power in that statement, in that invitation. Our Father, we're all in. In Jesus Christ, we believe in him. We've been given his Spirit and adopted as sons and daughters. We're all in. It's not a private prayer, right? My Father, who art in heaven, give me bread. Give me forgiveness. But what do we pray for most of the time? Do we pray for selfish things, for our little kingdoms? Isn't it interesting that Jesus says, when we pray for the hallowing of his name, of God's name, for his kingdom, for his will. And he says, while you live for my kingdom and my will, you will need bread. And while you live for my kingdom and my will and my honor, you will need forgiveness. And while you live for my kingdom, you will need to forgive others. And while you live for my kingdom, you will need deliverance. Wait a minute. All of a sudden, here's this whole prayer, this whole pattern of prayer. And there's not a whole lot of room for my kingdom in that prayer. But what if that's where joy is? Right? It's really easy in life to get angry or to be in a rage because my kingdom didn't come. You look in the news, look in the mirror, we see that. When you bump into everybody, there's 7 billion people on the planet. Actually, I looked last night, I think we're up over 7.5 billion people on the planet, people thinking it's their kingdom to come. But actually, it's one kingdom. And joy is found in that kingdom. So when you pray, the Apostle Paul, in one of his prayers, one of his great prayers, beginning of Ephesians, says, I'm giving thanks for all of you. And in all my prayers, I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, our glorious Father, that he may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And he's not asking for silly things. Then listen to this. He says, I keep asking our glorious Father, he may give you his spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. And so when Paul stops and he's working this out and he's figuring this out, Paul's like, you know, I'm not praying, you know, I think what the Scheid family needs is more things, or I think they need more fame, or I think they need more victories in life. No, he prays that we would know God better. And Paul's in jail most of the time, right? Well, he's telling us to rejoice. One day, one person said to Jesus, because he saw Jesus praying in a certain place, would you teach us to pray? And we all got the Lord's Prayer. Is this your day? When do you become a person of prayer, a person of peace? And if you are, please teach us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the gift of prayer. Thank you for the joy of prayer. Thank you even this week for the transformation that you bring in your presence by the power of your Spirit. Lord, I am grateful for everyone here this morning. Lord, we pray that you would make us people who pray. And so we ask for your Holy Spirit. Would you give us your Holy Spirit? Fill us with your Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Would you fill us with your Spirit of power and love and self-control, that we would know more of you and know you more, our Father. Lord Jesus, make us one in heart and mind and purpose for the gospel, for your kingdom. Move us, I pray, especially in this season, from me and mine to our and us. Even now as we pray, together as Jesus taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And all God's children said, Amen.